Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I'm very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor or in a chair or on the sofa, wherever you choose to sit. Please try to find a way that enables you to sit upright in a way that also feels relaxed. And as you get settled, I want to continue a conversation that we started a few weeks ago, although you don't have to go back and listen to anything if you did not hear those previous videos, about how to work with the super intense emotion that we call heartbreak. There, in my experience, there is no greater pain. And I'm talking about heartbreak from lost love, but it could be heartbreak for any number of reasons, losing someone you love because they die, or losing your home, or losing some aspect of your life that's very important to you. Encountering heartbreak is not unusual, although whenever it happens, it's shocking at the same time because of how painful it is and how unmanageable. So when we encounter situations in our lives that we cannot manage, we can't game, we can't apply any sort of rationale or theory or system to change it, of course, that's very painful. I don't have to say that again. But it also provides an opportunity to look at things from a different perspective, because whatever conventional means we have used in the past to dispel so-called negativity or work with difficulty, they don't work here anymore. So now what? In wisdom tradition, weirdly, that's considered fortunate, even though I don't know what those people were thinking who called it fortunate, because it feels horrible. But we're shaken out of the norm. And that's the fortunate part. We have a chance to glimpse something beyond habitual thought patterns. Again, I know it's like, oh, I'd rather not glimpse anything beyond habitual thought patterns if this is what is required. Nonetheless, here we are. And what could we do with overwhelming feelings of pain and sorrow? So the first suggestion was learn somehow to work with your thoughts, because they are, they can run you ragged and become obsessive and speedy. And what if this, and what if that, and why did I do this, and what if this happens? That kind of thought process happens all day long when your heart is broken, and sometimes all night long too, in the way you dream. So finding some way to reestablish agency within your own mind is very, I'd say, necessary. And of course, the practice of meditation, the practice that we're fixing to do, is one of those ways. It's not the only way, but I find it a very efficacious way. The second suggestion from last week was to learn somehow to work with the energy of the heart, which also rages and is unstoppable in its intensity. So in the Buddhist tradition and other traditions too, I imagine, there is a way to work with that energy, and it's called the practice of loving kindness. And somehow the shift occurs when you wish for healing for yourself and include everybody else who's suffering from what you're suffering with. When we extend our hearts to others, even in, or especially in the midst of our own greatest pain, we have the chance to rediscover some sense of empowerment. Because when we're just thinking, oh, I want to stop feeling this, and I want you to stop feeling it too, nothing wrong with that, it feels disempowering and you feel at the mercy of circumstance. But when you say, I don't want to feel this, and I also want everyone else who feels it to be healed, there's a sense of power, of confidence that otherwise is missing. So today I want to talk about a third possibility, which I would say is equally as helpful slash unhelpful as the first two, meaning it still hurts, even if you employ these methods. And that is to bring somehow this feeling of heartbreak to the path as a, not as a way to learn something or develop psychologically or anything like that, but as a way to possibly wake up to what is true about being human and what is true about reality, which is that everyone's heart is broken. The whole situation is a vast heartbreak, which does not sound very cheerful. But there's something about acknowledging the truth of impermanence and loss and change. Everything changes. That enables you to see clearly in such a way that further enables you to live your life from the deepest place. Don't take my word for that or anything. I don't know if I could do it. I'm still trying, of course, just like everybody else. But the truth about relationships is that they are all going to end. They're all going to end. Someone's going to fall out of love. Someone's going to die. Someone's going to change their mind. Someone's going to become unhappy for some reason and want to leave. And I'll just say again, someone's going to die. And weirdly, that's the best case scenario. You have some long, happy relationship, and then someone dies. It ends. So I know this is not like, oh, cheerful, perky, Buddhist-y things to make you feel better, but nonetheless, it's true. And when you look at what is true, you are able to hold things, the realities of your life, more accurately, with a sense of awareness of the extreme preciousness of every moment. I hope that doesn't sound cliche, because every moment disappears. And when you start to reconcile with that to some degree, you may stop trying to build your world on sand that will just wash away with the next wave of loss. You know, that's mixing metaphors. But most of us, I certainly put myself in the front of this line, are trying to build a life that keeps pain and suffering at bay. And good, you know, that's practical and we should all do that. But the idea that I can have it all, that I can craft a life if only I get this right and get rid of this problem and make this thing happen that I really long for, that my life can stabilize in some kind of place of non-suffering. I'm sorry, this is really a bummer, everything I'm saying. But if you've ever been with someone who's dying, you see how everything changes in such moments. You remember what's important. Oh, it doesn't matter that you do that irritating thing. You remember how precious and extraordinary life is. Ambitions seem to find their right place instead of, you know, dominating your everyday existence. I need this, I want that. I need and want a lot of things, so not saying that's a bad, but everything becomes very still and very focused and very real. And there's something to learn from those moments. And when your heart is broken, you're in such moments. Ugh, I don't know if this is making any sense. So when your heart is shattered and you can't fix it and you can't change it, it will change, by the way, so you're not always going to feel this way. But in the meantime, while you're in there and you're working somehow to establish some balance in your mind and in your heart, you could also notice how differently life appears in moments of heartbreak. You see what's important. You know that only love matters. You can feel not only your own feelings, but everyone else's. There's some sense of being very connected to other people. Those are qualities that also lead to depth on the spiritual path. I don't know what I'm saying. I hope this is useful. But this is what, these are the things that I have found to be true. So while your heart is broken, you could examine what it feels like to be without strategies, but only with this raw beating heart. So, as some of you know, I wrote a book a long time ago called The Wisdom of a Broken Heart. And I've spent many years now talking to people about their heartbreak, examining my own heartbreak, and so on. And one conclusion that I've come to is that heartbreak is love itself, unbound from an object. When the object of your love disappears, this thing just shatters open. And again, while it is quite painful, it's also quite alive. And unbound from an object, love just expands to take up everything, everything you think, everything you feel. So one way of looking at this vast discomfort is as an extreme experience of extreme love, and that you would not feel unless you were capable of such love. So I ask your apologies for this little talk, because I don't know if it's useful. You'll have to tell me. In the meantime, let's sit. Our practice is a way of being with what is without trying to change it. So in this sense, we are also practicing being with heartbreak in our meditation. So let's sit. Begin by establishing your posture, which means to sit up straight, or your version of straight. If you have neck or back problems, just adjust accordingly. And relax. Hands rest on the legs, palms down. Really give your weight to the cushion or chair. And let yourself feel kind of heavy from the waist down, rooted, and light from the waist up, receptive, rooted and receptive. This is you. Strong back, soft front, strong and soft, that is you too. Let the belly relax. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And the breath is natural, in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. And just breathing is whatever you're doing for your whole life, since the moment you were born. Just keep doing that. There's no breathing technique here. In our practice, the eyes are open and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And our eyes are open because we're practicing being awake. And right here, with what is, and it's much easier to do those things when our eyes are open. Let the brow soften. Let your attention come to rest on the breath, which means we're feeling the body breathing rather than observing it. Just feel. Breathing in and out. Your mind will continue to think thoughts, like your eyes continue to see and your ears continue to hear. There's no off switch, nor does there need to be. Just let thoughts come and go, which they'll do anyway. None of them stay forever. And let your primary attention be on the breath. Should you notice that you become absorbed in thought to the point where you have lost all sense of feeling the breath completely, good. Label that moment thinking. Let go. Come back and begin again with this breath, feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together in silence for a little while until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. I feel it. And thank you for practicing together. The Open Heart Project is quite an amazing community, and I'm so happy we're part of it together. See you next week.